applauds us, right? But no, guys, thank you very much for helping us out. And yeah, Bo, thanks for getting this. It's a good team. Let's pray once again. Lord Jesus, we could stop right there. It's nothing but your blood and our righteousness that comes from you covering us with your life and your sacrifice, and to be in you and to live in you on this day in 2017, this Chinese New Year, Year of the Rooster. That's what it's all about. And so we give you praise. Thank you. We can praise you in song. And now as we turn our eyes to the Word of God, take these familiar scriptures and speak to our hearts. Speak to me. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, 2017, happy Chinese New Year. And you know, everything revolves around this zodiac of 12 animals and these 12-year cycles. And some of us can see the years we were born. It gets really, really tiny in mine. It's not even listed. I was born before 64. But what's the year, kids? What is it? The year of the what? Is it the year of the rat? No. Year of the pig? What is it? Year of the rooster? Is that right? How many of you think it's the year of the rooster? Yeah, of course it is, right? According to this zodiac. There's a rooster. What are roosters known for, guys? What do you think of it? Does anybody got a rooster living near in your block? You know, in the Philippines, it seems like everybody's got a rooster at their house or somewhere. But Lim Siuan, isn't there a few roosters down there? Have you heard a few down there? I've heard a couple in the morning. But they basically say, wake up, all right? But they don't get up in the morning and go, wake up! You know, what do they do? How about some rooster noises? Who can make a good rooster noise? Yeah, it sounds like they're over in Mars, but somewhere over there, you know. But, you know, it's not like a little pecking sound. You know, it's that cock-a-doodle-doo. You know, let's all try a cock-a-doodle-doo. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Come on, kids. I want to hear what you can do. Let's see how you. Okay. Now, I don't think this is irreverent, but when I hit the word rooster in Scripture, I want to hear somebody say that, okay? Give it a shout. Let's try it. 1, 2, 3. Rooster. Okay. We're ready to go. All right. There's not many Bible verses, but one that you're probably not too familiar with is found in... Oh, I got to talk about this guy. Yeah, I forgot all about him. I'm from North Carolina, but next door neighbor is South Carolina. Makes sense, right? And South Carolina has in their city called Columbia, South Carolina, the capital, and they have the University of South Carolina at USC. That's the real USC. If you're from California, you know what I'm getting at. But anyway, they're called the Fighting Gamecocks. And does this guy look like he's a mean one? That's a rooster. And they get that from because people really fight birds. And I remember my father-in-law, he took me to a bird farm in California. And the guy had all these nice birds, and they would fly to Hawaii and the Philippines and fight them. And there's an artist depiction. And I thought that would be better than showing you the real thing, which you'd probably have nightmares over. Bonnie said I was kicking her last night. I think it was because I saw this picture. She said, why are you kicking me, James? I said, I'm having a dream. I'm kicking a dog. But maybe this is what spurred it on. I don't know. But anyway, they kick and they fight each other with their claws to death, you know. And then you bet on these birds. And it's illegal to do so in most places of the world. But the fighting gamecocks, that's the kind of thing that came to my mind. But they wake you up, and so when we get to this word rooster in Proverbs 30 today, I want you to give me a cackle. But this is not a too well-known verse. I don't think I ever committed this one to memory. Three things are stately in their tread. Four are stately in their stride. The lion, which is mightiest among beasts and does not turn back before any. The strutting rooster. You know, some of you are very, very, very compliant and obedient members of this congregation. Okay. The strutting rooster. the he-goat, and a king whose army's with him. Well, basically, we've got, you'll have to forgive my little, these don't look too stately, do they? But anyway, if you see a lion on the prowl or a rooster walking in the chicken yard, whatever, and the farmyard, and then you have a he-goat or a mountain goat, a male guy, they are kind of, we even use the expression, he's cocky, he's very assured of himself, over-assured, that kind of thing. There's a strut about him, but it's pointing to the matter that it's like a king. You know, these animals are showing us what it is, and it's like the king with his army and his confidence. So we may see oftentimes leaders of nations, but they got all those guys behind them. But how much more so when they're getting ready to go to battle and they got all their soldiers behind them? That's the point of the something about that, those four things that stick in your head. But the rooster time that's most well known in Scripture is not as dealing with the actual animal itself as much as with the Apostle Peter. And it's recorded in these four different Gospels, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and the combined story of John 13 and 18. You will find that. But today's focus, if you got your bulletin, you'll see it was the insert there, is just on Matthew's rendition version of what took place in these events. And there is the Apostle Peter after he has denied the Christ. This denial was foretold. And if you're familiar with the Scriptures, in that night that Jesus was betrayed, Judas has already betrayed Jesus and left the Last Supper and went to sell him for 20 pieces of silver. That's taken place. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And it's during this time that Jesus is telling them, after that Lord's Supper, and they're going on their way to the Mount of Olives, to the garden to pray. And then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. You will all fall away because of me this night." Not just Peter, but all of you. The impact would be, you know, gang, every one of you are going to fall away tonight. Every one of you. And it's going to happen in just a few minutes. Within a few hours, this is going to take place tonight. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And if there's any word I like in English language, when I really listen to you communicate to each other or to me or I talk to you, really find out what happens after the B-U-T. You know, you're all going to deny me. Yeah. But you know what? After I'm raised up. Yeah. I'm going to be struck down, yeah, but I'll be raised up, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away," hey, look, all of you guys might fall away, but you know, I'm the pastor guy. I'm going to stick to Jesus. You know, you all might fall away. "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster..." Do I have to read the next word? Crows. "You will deny me three times." Not just once. But three times. And Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Okay, disciples, let's read that one together. "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Let's all say that. One, two, three. "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." They'll have to kill me. I will not deny you. There's a great passage in 1 Corinthians 10 that tells us how to deal with temptation, but one of the warnings is that that if we think we're standing firm in Christ, let us be careful lest we fall. You know, we can fall, but with each temptation that we meet, there is a way to escape. That's another sermon for another day, but we can never be to the point to where we think we are so spiritually strong that we're beyond temptation. I mean, a man after God's own heart just went up on the roof and watched someone take a shower, and it led to some really bad stuff. That's King David and Bathsheba. So, men and women of God, be careful, those of us who stand, lest we fall. So that was the prediction. Everyone, all the disciples said, hey, we won't deny you. We'll die. We won't do this. We won't deny you. And Jesus has already told them, every one of you going to, and Peter, you especially, going to do it three times before the rooster crows. And here's the actual denial. It takes place a few verses down in chapter 26 still, verse 69 through 75. And 69 starts saying, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about. And when we went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him. And she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. Number two. And after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. This Nazarene accent. We can hear this Galilean accent. And then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Three times denial, and then the rooster. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster... Thank you. Going to sleep, roosters. Before the going to sleep, roosters crows, you will deny me three times. And he wept and went out and wept bitterly. So it came to his mind. He knew exactly when it happened. And that's why I like Carl Bloch, a Danish painter. This is his rendition. It's like Jesus has just made eye contact with him as he's being drug into the Jewish council and tried. And instead of Peter going and say, yes, this is the Christ, you know, no, he denies him, even knowing him. So that's Carl Bloch's thing. But the thing that Scripture says is that, and he wept bitterly. Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, he wept bitterly over his sin. He wept bitterly over his sin. And so it's not unusual for some people when they come to faith, there's a lot of tears. It was my experience as an 8.5-year-old boy. I'll get back to that later. Wept bitterly over his sin. So if we could make a photograph or painting of somebody weeping bitterly, an apostle, that would, I think, would be very appropriate. But the story doesn't end there, right? We know the gospel story doesn't leave Peter in denying Christ and that's the end of the game. No, it's the restoration of Peter which excites me as much as anything, as well as life to follow after the restoration. It's John 21 in verses 15 to 19. You don't have that in your handout, but that's where this restoration comes from. And it's Jesus down on the beach, you know. He's going to have some fish and bread with the disciples, and it's during that time of one of his resurrection appearances in Galilee to the 12 that he restores Peter. And it's kind of neat. Sometimes we gather as men three or four times a week. I do with different men, and we're at breakfast time. And Jesus isn't there bodily, but he's there spiritually, and we celebrate that and are encouraged and feel... yeah, really human strengthened by Christ's presence. But at this breakfast meal, that's supposed to be Peter on the right of Jesus with that gray headband. And when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? James, do you love me more than these guys?" I can't say I love you more than them, but you know, he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time. And how many times, boys and girls, did Peter deny Jesus? And he's asked him three times, "Do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you," he's talking to Peter, "when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Now, when I read this as a young boy, I thought it sounded like Peter was going to an old people's home, you know. He's going to go where they put the old guys. That's where I'll be going pretty soon. And you go there, and you have to have total care, right? And some of us have taken care of our parents. We know it's not a pretty thing. But that's not what he's talking about here for Peter. Peter doesn't go to an elderly center to do his end of days, no. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. He was telling Peter, you know, you're going to be led to death. And it's not going to be where you want to go, and you're going to be dressed for death in a way you don't want to be. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Remember that first "follow me" was "drop your nets and follow me." When Peter saw how well a fisherman Jesus was, he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner." No, I've done this because I want you to follow me, Peter. I want you to learn from me. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there's no other way to the Father except through me. Now follow me. And now I know you denied me, and now back here at the beach after breakfast, you've told me you love me. Now what are you going to do? I want you to follow me. Follow me. Yeah. I didn't want to show you some gross ones. There's some gross ones, boys and girls, but the Apostle Peter is, according to church history, you won't find this in the Bible, but was crucified. But he requested that he be crucified upside down because he did not think himself worthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was. That's what it means to be led somewhere where you don't want to go. A great man of faith, as most of all the apostles who gave their life and martyrdom for the gospel that you and I know today. In 2017 A.D., what do you think A.D. stands for? Oh, Christian. Here we go, man. So the year of the Lord. So that's Latin for year of the Lord. It's Christian. He can give you. All right. Year of the Lord. It's not after he's dead. That's what I used to think as a kid. You know, A.D., after he's dead, you know, right? But it's the year of the Lord. He has risen. He is on high. He's at that throne. And remember, we're rejoicing in the book of Hebrews. It shows that he's not just sitting around. What's he doing? He's mediating the new covenant. He's pleading his blood on behalf of those who have come through faith in him, you and I. That the Word of God will be in our minds and in our hearts, and we will do his will on this planet. We will make disciples until he returns again. He's in the heavens, and he will come to judge And it's been 2017 years approximately since he's been gone, and that's where we say 2017 year of his reign. But will we deny Jesus is the Christ? The Christ is a very important words, and we say it all the time. And you see it in movies, for Christ's sake, and it's always used in vain. The Christ, what are we talking about? This is the rock on which he said, Peter, this is the rock on which we're going to build the churches. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Peter had said that in Matthew 16. And then he gets mixed up a few verses down, and he says, no, you can't go to Jerusalem and die. And he says, get behind me, Satan. What is this, the rock of the church? Or is he the Satan of the church? What are you talking about? The rock is this. It is the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the promised one. You are the one upon all the history of mankind has depended. The promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to David are fulfilled in the Messiah, the Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the one who has created, the one who has saved you and me, the one who's coming to judge the quick and the dead, and the one who is going to reign for eternally, and who has prepared for you and I a job to co-reign with him in the new heaven and new earth. He is the Christ. There's a war going on between evil and good. There's a war going on for men and women's and boys and girls' souls. And when we talk about the peacemaker, we're talking about the Christ. He ends the hostility between God and sinful people. Because he became sin on that cross. His blood is shed for you and I. The righteousness of God is given to you and I through faith alone. And yes, we do have that inward tranquility, that peace. But will we deny the Christ in 2017? That's the question. I pray to God we won't, but we will say this Jesus, he is who I worship, and he is the Christ. Peter, after Pentecost, when Holy Spirit came down upon them, they changed. They weren't longer fearful people running to save their own skin. They became a people who were very bold in their witness and in Jerusalem. And in Peter's first sermon, he says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now, roosters cockle-doodle-doo. But followers of Jesus say, you are the Christ. This Jesus who was crucified. In my personal Bible readings, it's been amazing to see Paul just tell his story of how he changed from a hater of Christians to a follower of Christ. But in every one of his defenses that I've seen this past week in my readings in Acts, is that he always refers to the one who is risen from the dead, the Christ. That's the issue. Now, you and I might not be the most gifted evangelists. We might not know all the answers that people have, criticisms of why, where did the Scripture come from, how can you trust them, different things we'll be hit with. Now, you should research your non-Christian friends' questions. And if you can't find answers, gotquestions.org is a very good place to go. It's pretty easy, gotquestions.org. It's you ask any questions, and it'll come up to you there. But if that doesn't satisfy you, talk to myself, an elder in the church, a friend you know who's mature in Christ, male or female. Just ask them, how do you respond to people who say whatever your friend might be accusing you? But what I want you to do, and what I want me to do in this year of the rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, in this year of 2017 where our Lord is sitting in the heavens and ruling, what I want you and I to do is say, you know, look, Jesus rose from the dead. He is the Christ. I don't have all the answers, but I don't find any hope in what you hand me in humanism or in superstition. I'm just here to tell you there's a man who lived on this planet and he rose from the dead and he said he is the Son of God. Now, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he is who he says he is. And all I know is we're living in the year 2017 and there's a few billion people on this planet who agree with me. That's the evidence. It's a history we're trying to help our friends confront. And then who will they say is it? Well, I don't believe it. Well, you deny Christ. You remain an enemy of God. But I implore you, I beseech you, and I want you more than anything. I don't want to win an argument. I want you to know Him. I want you to be friends with God through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. Rooster time for you. All right. Weep bitterly. Don't be afraid to do that. If there's some sin in your life and you're trying to act like it doesn't matter, and yet the Lord Jesus says, it does matter, it does matter. You're denying me. You can weep here right now, or you can weep in your own closet when you get home. I don't care, but just be honest with God. Holy Spirit is upon you. Holy Spirit is in you. And you know what He does? He does not allow us to love sin. He makes us hate it, and He makes us be truthful and cry to the Lord, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. Have mercy on me. And as Robbie preached not too long ago, and if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us of what? All our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we need to come to that point and be humble and weep. Be restored. No more denial. Okay? This is what Christ does, and when we come to Him in faith and we confess our sins, He cleanses us. Sometimes we think of the big sins. Substance abuse, sexual sins, robbing, stealing, maybe even harming other people physically. Saying things that hurt people. Some of these big things kind of come to it. But what I'm getting at in the way that we deny Christ, we need a king. We think we need something else to follow to make our life complete. I need money. I need family. Praise God for families and money and from whom all blessings flow. But I need a king in my life. Now, I told you at age 8 and a half, I kind of had this emotional experience and came to faith. And New Bridge Baptist Church, Bill Wallace, the pastor, and I told him and came down when the altar call was given. And it was an emotional thing. It was a real thing. But there's 15 years of what I call living in denial. And you teenagers, don't go there. You're going to miss out. Everybody's going to be tempting you, thinking that it's cool not to be a Christian. You're missing out on all this stuff. You don't know what fun is. You want to be free to run. Well, I'll tell you what. You can come over here free and smoke marijuana with me. You can come over here and be free and do all this ecstasy, and we can go dance all night, and then you can really be free. And then you wake up, and you're addicted, and your kidneys get infected. Then your brain starts going dead and it sells. Then you find yourself in prison calling mom and dad, I'm sorry I got arrested, I was busted last night. Yeah, you'll be free. Well, by the grace of God, I didn't get busted and thrown in jail, but I came that close too many times. And God in his mercy came to me, not on the breakfast on the beach, but breakfast by the banks of Davidson River in the middle of Pisgah National Forest in western North Carolina. I'm sitting there and I'm reading scriptures. It's like, I'm a God of history, James. Wake up. I've revealed myself to you as a child. You came to church and you heard the gospel. Now, why don't you just come back? But he also asked me, do you love me? And that's what it boils down to. Do you love me? Are you going to follow me? Do you understand how much I love you? And now will you love me? So that was in 1975. And I've been perfect ever since. That's a joke. That's a big, big joke. But I found it faithful to come back to God and say, forgive me, Lord, I sinned in this way, I've sinned in that way. But by his grace and his outworking of his Holy Spirit in my life, yeah, I've been set free from certain sins that used to chain me down. And I'm careful that I don't fall. I cling to him for strength. And he does not disappoint. And he does not disappoint you. And there's many of you here and say, amen, James, I know exactly where you're coming from. I found him so great and good. And I do love him. And I don't want to deny him in this year. And so that, what does that lead us to? Well, that leads us to be his witness. Jesus is the Christ. He's not just some little good guy who shows us, you know, and says some good little things to hear. No, he is the Christ. I mean, life, the universe, everything revolves around it. I think on the back of the bulletin, there's a Tim Keller quote that the Bible is basically teaching us that our biggest problem is that we try to find our identity in something other than Jesus. God made you and I to be his children, period, and to reflect his glory. That's why we're here. Now, as a young person, you're saying, well, I still got to go to school, don't I? Yeah. I mean, your mom and dads and people here sitting in the congregation, they got to go to work. Yeah. But they're going to try to glorify God in the workplace. They're going to try to glorify God where they live, here in DB, as you are. And as you make choices to where do you go study in school, I know one friend of mine, got to be careful how I say this, has a child who wants to go to Amsterdam to study. That sounds kind of cool. I mean, they got free marijuana bars and everything, right? No, it's not free. You pay for it. But, I mean, you can, you see what I'm saying? That's the first thing that came to my mind. I'm so depraved. But if that individual believes that this school in Amsterdam has the best curriculum that I need to go on this career path, which I believe Jesus is preparing me for, then they better go to Amsterdam. So young people, as you have options to go to different universities, pray about it. Pray about it. I remember for all three of our children, when they reached that age and they started making decisions, I said to my son Joseph, who's not following the Lord right now, I said, are you sure you want to go to Wheaton? Are you sure you want to major in philosophy? I said, you go over there and pray, and I'll go over here and pray, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it, because it was going to be a little bit more expensive than I had anticipated. So financially, I had worries and concerns, but I also thought, wow, I just don't know. You know, Wheaton's a great school. It's a good Christian school. And he decided to go there. And he told me at that time he believed that that's where God wanted him. Now he doesn't talk like that. I personally think that Joseph needs to be restored. We could debate whether he's ever known Jesus or not, but he definitely needs a little fireside chat with Jesus. But for you and I, in the here and now, boys and girls, young people, moms and dads, no matter what you're facing in life, decisions you have to make regarding the workplace, school, I am Jesus's, I follow him, I'm his follower, and I'm going to bear witness. I don't know all the answers that to people's questions and doubts. I'll try to help them answer that. But you know, Jesus rose from the dead. He is the Christ, and he's coming again. And that's the message that DB needs to hear this year of the rooster. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every man and woman, young person, boy and girl that came here today, this first day of Chinese New Year, Year of the Rooster. And I can't help but just think of what it must have felt like when Paul heard that rooster crow and then he looked you in the eyes and then he went and wept bitterly. But Lord, that's not the end of his story, and the end of our story is not over yet either. And to be engulfed in your love, and you are asking the same question to me, to my family, and the lovely families that are here worshiping today, do we love you? Lord, you know we do. So empower us this year to be your witness in DB and beyond. And it's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.
Is it on? There we go. Will you stand and proclaim this with us as we close?
A good friend, Steve Weibel, if you've ever been with him, and sometimes he'll be talking and saying, and all God's people said, amen, you know. But what I like to say is, I'm going to say all God's people said, Jesus is the Christ. Can we try that? And all God's people said,
Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah, that's our witness. Now let's receive benediction. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit make us a people who by our lives and by our words shout, Jesus is the Christ, until he returns. Amen.
Amen.